Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 16. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." This is the text. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the Canaanite woman who was following after Jesus and the disciples. She was asking, begging for mercy, crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." That's one of the most clear confessions of faith that you find in all the Gospels. This is no small statement from her. However, it's not quite as complete of a confession as we heard last week from Peter, who said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock," that is, on this confession of faith, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." All is well and good in Peter's world at this time. Clearly, Peter not walking on the water, sinking into the water, and Jesus saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Clearly now this is something he can put behind him. It is smooth sailing from this time forth for good old Peter. And then we turn to our gospel reading for today, which are the verses in Matthew's gospel that immediately follow Peter making his confession of faith and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus has just told the disciples in no uncertain terms that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised to Adam and Abraham. And from that time on, he begins to explain to the disciples what the plan is. He must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things and be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead. Remember how last week Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" And they rattled off a wide range of answers. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. The crowd was generally speaking out of confusion and ignorance concerning who the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of Man is. Peter, as we heard, makes his great confession about Jesus being the Christ. And now that Jesus starts explaining why the Christ has come, Peter begins speaking out of confusion and ignorance. And he takes Jesus aside and he begins to rebuke him, as we hear in Matthew. Before we get to what Peter said a couple weeks ago with the Canaanite woman, we hear the disciples beg Jesus to send her away because she is crying out after us. Literally, she is behind us, following us, and won't stop asking for mercy. The people who oppose Jesus are always trying to stand somewhere other than behind him. They think that they are there to teach or guide. Peter makes this mistake. Peter says, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Well, if this never happens to Jesus, him going to Jerusalem, suffering, dying, rising again, then we are all dead. Peter didn't realize that this is the plan. The reality of salvation in Christ comes from being behind him, This is the image of the gospel. The law of God is rightfully pointing its finger of guilt at you and saying, you are guilty, you deserve death and hell. What Jesus has done is to place himself between you and that wrath of the law. You stand behind him. The Lord is our strength and our shield, as Scripture says. If you choose to stand elsewhere, if you are not behind him, if you are standing in front of him trying to teach Jesus, tell him how things are going to be, he can't shield you from the wrath of the law. And God's perfect law demands punishment. And there is only one punishment. All sin is deserving of death and hell. Period. Jesus chose to suffer that death for you. Jesus chose to endure being forsaken by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And being completely cut off from the Father is the ultimate punishment in hell. And this is what Jesus chose to endure so that he can be our strength and our shield. From the time of Adam, this was the plan. God the Father was sending Jesus to stand between you and the sting of death. When Peter told Jesus that him dying on the cross should never be, Peter was standing on the wrong side of Jesus. Jesus wanted Peter behind him because of his love for him. He wanted to shield him. Satan wants you to be on the wrong side of Jesus. Satan wants you to feel the full power of the sting of death. And Peter speaks this pious little lie, and Jesus immediately will have none of it. Jesus turns and says, get behind me. Don't think that you're walking with me. Don't think that you're here to teach me. Get behind me, Satan. Peter is acting contrary to the will of God. Therefore, he is acting on behalf of Satan, tempting him to find a different path rather than the painful and difficult road leading to the cross. Jesus says, get behind me. You're a stumbling block to me. You're not thinking the things of God, but the things of man. It's man's sinful nature which always seeks a different path to salvation apart from the cross. Our sinful nature doesn't like the cross because it means that I can do nothing to save myself. Again, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Without his cross, I am dead. Then Jesus says to the disciples, if anyone would get behind me, I know that when you read it there in the translation, it says, if anyone would come after me, and that translation is correct, but the Greek word there is the same word as what Jesus said to Peter when he said, get behind me. Don't miss the connection. If anyone would get behind me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. Let him disown himself and sing the hymn, what is the world to me? Read through those words. We are singing that in our during communion distribution. Pay attention to those words. But please don't take this as a law that you must do and do it well enough to make yourself right with God. Because if you could deny yourself, disown yourself enough so that you were keeping this law, well, then you wouldn't need Jesus and his cross anymore. Take this as a law that teaches you to see that your sin has wrecked what this world ought to be. and repent of that sin and understand that I am a selfish person. And without his cross, I am dead. For as Jesus says, whoever desires to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying that if anyone would get behind me, let him disown himself, take up his cross, recognize that without Christ, without his cross, without what he has done, we are dead. Dead in our sins and deserving of death and hell. And trust that Jesus has already taken care of this. He has already stood between you and that which would harm you. But the one who desires to save his own soul, to save his own life, will lose it. It can't be done. After all, out of all of your possessions and talents and works that you have done, what could you possibly give in exchange for your soul? What could you present to God and say, here, look, I have made it all better. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Jesus says, get behind me. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.